Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is Matthew chapter 17, beginning at the 24th verse. And when they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" And he said, "Yes." And when he came into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of earth take custom or taxes? From their own sons or from strangers?" Peter said to him, "From strangers." Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, it's a pretty amazing thing when you think about it, how easy it is for us to get facts and data and information accurately. For example, I was playing this a Trivial Pursuit game, and it's a fun game for like the first six questions because I always get those, but then they throw one at you that nobody in the world knows but like maybe one person. The example was, how many total goals were scored in the 1990 World Cup? Anybody? Now, can everybody here find that within 5 seconds? If you got a phone, you can, right? Yeah, so, you know, I Googled it, of course, cheated, and Googled it, and it said 115. Well, there you go, okay, 115 goals. Now, when I was a kid, much younger, I could have never done that. In fact, when I was younger, when it came to facts, if I was arguing something, this is the case, this, and my friend would say, "No, this is the case," I would have three options to prove that I was right. Number one, I could just say, "Well, I don't care," and just drop it. Number two, I could lie about it, all right, and hope he would buy my lie. Or number three, I could buckle down and go to the library and do some research for like a week or two, and at that point, nobody really cares anymore about what we were talking about. So I had those three options. And in this text today, I have the same three options, right? I could look at this text and I can say, "Well, I don't care," and just not preach on it, but it's too late for that, right? I could take option number two and I could lie about it if I don't understand it and say, "Well, it's talking about giving to the church," or "It's talking about specific techniques for fishing," okay? Or I could just buckle down and really try to get something out of this text, which is what I chose. Now, Peter and Jesus and probably some of the other disciples are in Capernaum. Certainly they are at Peter's house, where they kind of their main base all the time. And someone comes to the door, and it's someone who wants money. And I don't know about you, but those are not my most popular people who come to my door. All right? It doesn't happen a lot anymore, and if it does, I have a video doorbell so I can see if it's a salesman or not. And I can either ignore it or just respond right through the speaker. But when I first moved in there, I was getting a lot of people coming to the door wanting to sell me things. Three in particular, and they came a lot. The one was the guy for these gutter guards to keep leaves out. And all I had to do was point at the only tree in my yard, which was about 4 feet tall and had like six leaves on it, and say, "I don't think that's going to make it up there, you know." And I still, to this day, not one leaf has ever gotten in my gutter. So that was one guy. Second really obnoxious guy is a guy who wanted to replace my roof all the time, and he didn't need it. And the third person was an even more annoying kind of hippie girl that wanted to sell me solar energy and really laid on the guilt trip about, you know, my carbon footprint and all that. All right, so let's just take the solar girl. And I had three options, right? Number one, I could just say, "I don't care," and slam the door in her face, but that's not very nice, right? Number two, I could lie and say, "Well, you know, I am a bonded and licensed contractor and environmentalist, and I can tell you that, you know, I just make something up, see if she bought it, and leave me alone." Or number three, I could go to the library and I could do diligent research on solar energy and my carbon footprint and come back to her in about a month. Well, I almost always choose option number one. I don't care. And I shut the door. When there was a knock on Peter's door and he answered it, he had the same three options. Now, This is a temple tax. Now, this temple tax pretty much began for the 40 years in the wilderness. Each man had to pay a half shekel to the support of the tabernacle at the time, not the temple. And it was considered, the way they saw it, is that payment every year redeemed them from God. Okay? In other words, they kind of rented themselves from God for a year with that payment. So number one, Peter could have said, well, I don't care. But he's not going to say that because everybody around him cared about the temple tax, and certainly the guy collecting it cares, so he can't say that. And he could have chosen number two and just lied about it, which is exactly what he does. It's strange that he's just skipped option number three altogether and just find out. All he had to do was lean in the house and say, hey, Jesus, you pay the temple tax? Okay, there you go. But instead, what does he do? He puts words in Jesus' mouth. Just one word. He goes, yes. Well, Jesus hasn't said that. And why would he do that? I think he's trying to protect himself and protect Jesus. He wants this temple official to know that he is the type of disciple who follows a rabbi who cares about the traditions and the laws of Judaism. He also realizes that Jesus has had enough of arguing with religious leaders, and he probably needs a break. One more time is not going to help him a lot. So he's protecting Jesus and himself. And so he puts words in his mouth. And boy, isn't that a popular thing to do, put words in Jesus' mouth, especially around election time, right? Where, hey, Jesus is a socialist. He's a Republican. He's a Democrat. What I found is interesting is Jesus always agrees with my opinion. Isn't that great? Always. Now, when we do that and put words in Jesus' mouth, we're just creating a fake Jesus and we're worshiping a false God, namely ourselves. Christians do this too. When we bring Jesus and introduce him to people who are not used to him, we don't start talking about the Jesus that we've heard the last 4 or 5 weeks, where he's talking about division and hatred and judgment. We give them nice Jesus, Jesus light, right? That no one's offended by. And so we can find ourselves doing the exact same thing. Well, Jesus is not about to allow Peter to put words in his mouth. And so he anticipates what Peter's about to say, and he already knows what Peter has said. And so he says, Peter, kings, do they demand taxes from their sons or from strangers? And Peter answers correctly, from strangers. And then in the next few words, Jesus succinctly lets Peter know exactly who he is. He says, I'm the Son of God. I'm not a stranger to God. I'm the Son of God. A couple days before Peter, we were on the Mount of Transfiguration. And you heard God say that. This is my beloved Son. You heard that. And since I'm a son, I'm tax exempt. I certainly don't have to pay a price to redeem myself from my father when in fact I've come to redeem all mankind. That doesn't make much sense. And then he reveals about himself things Peter needed to know. Number one, like I said, that he is the Son of God. Number two, something to back that up, namely catching a fish with a shekel in its mouth. That doesn't happen every day. Number three, he shows that the Son of God is patient because he says, even though I'm tax exempt, just not to give offense, I'm going to pay it anyway, and I'm going to pay yours too. And in that very simple redemption, the half shekel for Peter, in a much greater way, Jesus illustrates the redemption that he had come to bring for the whole world and for Peter. To say to Peter, you are my son, and I have redeemed you, and I will. Now, Matthew's the only one who really brings up this story in the entire New Testament, probably because he's a tax collector and he's interested about things like that. I don't know. He could have even witnessed it. But I'm glad he did, because even though it's a very unique story, it in a very simple and powerful way illustrates exactly who Jesus is and what that means, and illustrates the fact that even when we face times of crisis and problems in our life, we really don't have three options. And we can't say, I don't care, because obviously we do care. And we can't put words in Jesus' mouth because he won't let us. So we have to go to Jesus and say, what do you think? And he tells us again and again, I am God's son. And I have redeemed you by my life, death, and resurrection. And because of that, you are my children, my sons, my daughters, and you are free. I pray that we live in that freedom today and enjoy the freedom and share the freedom with those who are still in bondage. In Jesus' name, amen.